treasure hunting company found some few years ago now a sunken galleon, and in it they discovered coins worth a tremendous amount of money. No sooner had they announced their find than some government came along and said that the treasure really belonged to them. It was not a case of finders keepers, and they had to give it all away. Hunting for treasure, that must be quite exciting, mustn't it? But more exciting when you actually find treasure. And the Christian life, when you come to think of it, is like that. The Christian is a person who is seeking treasure. And as we progress through our Christian lives, increasingly we are discovering, at least we should do, treasure, more and more treasure. So this evening we're on a treasure hunt, and we're confining ourselves to God's word, the Bible, because this is where we find the treasure, in his word. And so we turn again this evening to Ephesians and chapter 1. Verse 3 is the opening phrase of a very long sentence in the original Greek, and you may have noticed it even in the English version that I'm using tonight. A sentence, very long one, that runs from verse 3 to verse 14. 202 words in all. And some Greek scholars have called it one of the most complex sentences in the entire New Testament. And what Paul is doing here is something he often does, actually. He's piling phrase upon phrase to enable us to find the treasure, to discover the spiritual blessings that are ours. And you know how it is with the Apostle Paul. Once he gets going, he cannot seem to stop. He's on a roll. And he goes on and on and on. And our text is verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Someone said of this verse, we enter this epistle through a magnificent gateway. We looked at the first two verses here this morning, but verse 3 is the beginning of the letter proper, and it's a gateway. And as that man said, a magnificent gateway into all these treasures that Paul is going to expound. And when Spurgeon preached on this text, right at the very beginning, he said, and this is some advice you might like to take this evening, sit in your seats and keep on blessing God from the first word of the sermon to the last. So there's something for you to do. Sit in your seats and bless God as we begin this sermon and all the way through this sermon and right to the very end. And now you'll notice our text, verse 3, is about blessings. The blessings that those who know the Lord receive. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just notice that Paul is using the word blessed here a number of times. Blessed, he says, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's using the word three times, isn't he? In the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that word blessing is a word that we often use without giving much thought to it. I know I do. In my prayers, I might well say, and maybe I was doing that earlier in the service, oh, bless so-and-so, bless this, bless that, bless the carol service. You know, we just use that word, don't we? And when I'm writing a letter, maybe, or an email, I say, every blessing. And that's what we do. And yet we sometimes wonder, what am I really saying? What do I really mean? What does this word mean? Blessed be God who's blessed us with spiritual blessings. What does it mean? We sing that hymn, Blessed Assurance. Well, we know what assurance is, but what's it blessed mean? What's that mean? It may be then one of those words that we find difficult to pin down. It can be a bit vague. Now, if you looked up the word in the dictionary, you'd find a wide variety of definitions. Listen to this. It's a selection. It's not a complete list of all the meanings. Blessed means to consecrate. It means to make the sign of the cross over someone. It means to extol as holy. It means to pronounce holy or happy. It means to invoke divine favor upon, to wish happiness to approve officially, and a lot more. So you look at the word blessed and you think, well, what do I mean by it? What's the Bible mean by it? It means an awful lot of things. I mean, if I say I'm blessing you, what does it mean? Does it mean I'm making the sign of the cross over you? Could mean that. Does it mean I'm making you holy or happy? Could mean anything, couldn't it? It's a word then with wide meaning. And then just to confuse things, and this has been most confusing to many people in the world today, certain clergymen bless a various number of things. For example, a number of years ago, a Catholic priest blessed a new C&A store in Dundee. Now, what he did, I don't know. He probably made the sign of the cross over the building and so on, or said, I bless you in the name of God and so on. And he said that this was a sign of God's grace and that the blessing which he was giving that building, it extended to all the employees and all the visitors, all the customers and the building itself. So what he was saying is this. Now, if you want to be blessed, you go to the C&A store in Dundee and there's the blessing. I don't think it worked. Because not only did that C&A store in Dundee close, all of them closed. So it didn't make much of a difference, did it? It wasn't a blessing. And then I read that various other places and things have been blessed by clergymen. A 10-pin bowling alley, the River Thames, the Sea off Margate, a fishing fleet, ton-up motorbikes, agricultural implements, a nuclear submarine. All these things, I bless you in the name of God, I bless you. And it sounds very pious, doesn't it? But what's it mean? Doesn't mean anything at the end of the day, does it? And it's so wonderful, isn't it, to come back to the simplicity of the Word of God. It's not complicated like that, and we don't go about blessing buildings and all the rest of it. We just come back to the Bible and a verse like this, which speaks of blessing. Our text, verse 3, reminds us that God has blessed us. What it says in the middle there, who has blessed us? God has blessed you. If you're a Christian, now even if you're not a Christian, he's blessed you in various ways. But Paul is getting at the spiritual side of things. And he's looking at each believer in Ephesus and each believer in Aycliffe tonight. And he's saying, God has blessed you. He's making it personal. That's what Paul does. That's what God does. He always makes it personal. And we, if we could realize it, are blessed beyond our wonder, beyond our imagination, beyond our understanding. God lavishes good gifts upon his children. He is not miserly. He's not frugal. He gives and gives. That's his very nature, to go on giving. And he gives liberally. And he gives generously. The chorus that we're going to sing later on in our closing hymn says this, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth and giveth again. So that's God, isn't it? Giving, giving, giving. Never stop giving. That's our God, because he's a God who gives. He loves to give. And no one can outgive God, the greatest giver there is. You remember that verse in James chapter 1 and verse 17, where James says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from God, comes down from the Father, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So this great God doesn't change, but what he does do, he gives and gives and gives. And we were singing about that earlier, especially in that second hymn. He is the one who gives, the greatest giver there is. And he comes to us with his hands open, with his arms open, and he says to you and to me, all this is for you. All this. He is very generous, and he says to us this evening, look at all this, it's for you. Now we're going to make a few points as we think about the blessings of God and this verse in particular, And let's make it personal. Well, we've pointed that out already, but let's make it personal for ourselves as we contemplate how the Lord has blessed us, has blessed you, and has blessed me. And our first point is this: the source of our blessings. The source of our blessings. And in one sense, all the three members of the Godhead are involved here. Certainly we've got the Father. Blessed be the God and Father. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So there's God the Father up there upon his throne, and the blessings come from him, the source of these blessings. And the Father is mentioned first here. And as we pointed out this morning, and we're going a little bit over the things that we were thinking about this morning, we must never think about the Father as the one who is stern and reluctant to bless and save his people. I mean, it's the Father here who's doing the blessing, isn't it? He has blessed us. It's not just Jesus. It's the Father who's blessed us also. Well, it's as though the three members of the Godhead are the ones who give these blessings. The Father gives the blessing, and the Son gives the blessing, and the Holy Spirit gives the blessing. They're all giving. In fact, no one member of the Trinity does something well without the others being in full agreement. If one gives, they all give. So here is God the Father mentioned first of all. And he blesses us. The last two words, though, of our text are vitally important. And again, we pointed that out this morning. The last two words of verse 3. In Christ, it says. Oh, we were thinking about that this morning, it being one of Paul's favourite phrases. And in verse 1, as we noted, he refers to the believers there in Ephesus being in Christ. Verse 1 at the end, the faithful in Christ Jesus. We said this morning, just by way of reminder, they were in Ephesus and they were in Christ. They were in these two places at the same time. And geographically, you're in this place, in this church building. And spiritually, if you're a believer, you're in Christ, in two different places at the same time. And in Christ, that phrase or its equivalent is used more than 10 times, roughly 10 times in this paragraph. That is from verse 3 to verse 14. And our text reminds us that these blessings are in Christ. You notice that the blessings now are in Christ. I mean, Christ is in you and you're in Christ, but also these blessings are in Christ. In other words, if you want blessing, you find it in Christ. It comes from the Father and it comes from Jesus, but the blessings are in him. So if you've not got him, you've not got any spiritual blessing at all. You're outside the blessing of God. But if you've got Jesus, then you've got the blessing of God, and all these spiritual blessings are yours. Without Christ, we have nothing, we are nothing. We can do nothing. But with Christ, in Christ, we've got all that we need. Someone said, this leaves no room for any other blessing to be found anywhere but Christ. You won't find any spiritual blessing at all, anywhere else, in any place, from anyone else. Only Jesus. All the blessings of God come then because of Christ and through Christ. And if you leave Christ out, there's nothing. Blessings exclusively come through him. Not a single blessing from anything else or anyone else. He's the channel, the only channel. There's the Father, and he channels his blessings through Christ. And as we trust him, we enjoy these blessings. We're in Christ, and the blessings that we enjoy are in Christ. And as we said this morning, when we're in Christ, we're united to him. He has saved us, and he has blessed us, and we praise God for that. And remember what Spurgeon said, sit back in your seat and bless God as we go through the sermon. And as we go through this verse, bless God that every blessing, spiritual blessing you receive, has come through Christ, that precious and only Son of the Father. There's only one reason why we are blessed, and that's because we're in Christ. And if we're without him, then there's nothing for us. Christians are in Christ, and Christians are linked to Christ, therefore, and all the blessings are ours through him. The source of our blessings, they're all from the Lord. Secondly, let's think of the scope of our blessings, the scope of our blessings. What kind of blessings are we talking about? What does it say? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Most people are not interested in spiritual blessings. They want popularity, they want prestige, they want position and property and pounds and prominence. They want health and they want wealth. But spiritual blessings, well, no thank you very much. They don't want them, they don't seek them. But Christians are different. Believers are different. Yes, we do thank God for the spiritual blessings, and we also thank God for the physical and material blessings that we enjoy. And they come from our Heavenly Father too. And how good God has been in those more worldly ways, hasn't he? But Paul isn't thinking of every physical blessing or every material blessing. He's thinking of every spiritual blessing. Some of us do not find blessing physically in that we're not perfect bodily. We've got problems, we've got aches and pains, we've got diseases and illnesses, so we don't enjoy perfect health. Some of us have particular problems of various kinds, maybe emotional ones or whatever, so we're not blessed in that particular way. But every Christian has at their fingertips, as it were, every spiritual blessing. You may be denied certain physical, worldly, material blessings, but nevertheless, God promises you tonight even, every spiritual blessing, they're yours in Christ. And God isn't unkind and keeping these things from you, locking them away in a cabinet and saying, they're not for you. He is so generous, he says, all this is for you. You don't deserve them, but they're for you. My son purchased them for you when he died upon the cross, and I'm intent on you enjoying them. Some of us then do without certain physical blessings, but these blessings are spiritual ones, which means they're in the realm of the Holy Spirit. We've thought about the Father and the Son, and these spiritual blessings, naturally enough, are to do with the Holy Spirit of God. So we've got the Trinity here, and they concern our souls, our spirits. Every spiritual blessing, not blessings of the body, but blessings of the soul. A modern heresy says that it's God's will for every Christian to be healthy and wealthy. Is that what our text says? God has blessed us with every material blessing? No, it doesn't say that. Every spiritual blessing, not every physical blessing, not every material blessing, not every worldly blessing, but every spiritual blessing. Do you get that? Every single spiritual blessing there is, every spiritual blessing that God has, is for you, because you're in Christ. When everything else may be gone, and every other blessing that we could think of down here is gone, you've still got those spiritual blessings. Those last. They're valuable. They're more valuable than any other blessing you could think about. And they're yours forever. God has not promised to bless you with a vast sum of money, a millionaire's lifestyle. He's not promised you fame and beauty and health and a long life. He's not said that you will never have an accident in life. He's never said you won't get ill and have a disease. But he said every spiritual blessing is yours in Christ. So what are these blessings? I mean, we're talking about blessings and God blesses us in these spiritual ways. What are they? What are we talking about? Let's sum it up in one word. What is this blessing? To put it all together, let's lump all these blessings together. What are they? What do they add up to? And the one word that covers them all is this, salvation. Salvation. That's the blessing, the big blessing, which covers all the other blessings that we might experience. We've already noted that Paul writes a very long sentence here from verse 3 to verse 14. And it's been pointed out that your English grammar teacher at school would not approve of you or anyone else writing such an extended sentence. And the teacher at school would say, well, you've got to put a full stop somewhere and start again. You don't write all these sentences. But Paul is under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when he gets going, as we said, he cannot stop. So he's got this very long sentence. And he includes in this sentence so many of these spiritual blessings that we enjoy, which add up to salvation. What's he mention? Well, he mentions election, that God chose you. He mentions predestination, that God has determined where you're going to go. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to heaven. That's what he's promised. That's part of salvation. That's the blessing. He's promised adoption. Adoption. So you're adopted into God's family. You were over there outside his family once. And yet he brought you into his family and said, you're my child now. Adoption. Redemption. In other words, Jesus came along and you were a slave. You were locked away in a prison and Jesus came along and paid the ransom price, redeemed you, ransomed you, made you free. That's a blessing. Forgiveness. He mentions that. Forgiveness. So that every single sin of yours, no matter how black and grim and awful, how hell-like that sin might have been, it's all gone. Completely forgiven. It's as though Jesus looks you in the eye and says, I forgive you. And when he says that, he means it. Every sin gone. Forgiveness. And so we could go on. You go through this sentence here. You go through this phrase here. You go through the whole chapter here. You go through the whole letter to the Ephesians. And you say, these are the blessings. These are the blessings. These are the blessings I receive from God. Salvation in every aspect. Salvation now, salvation then, salvation for all eternity. When God blesses you, oh, he blesses you. The blessing of sins forgiven, the blessing of being right with God, the blessing of a promised place in heaven. And Paul, later in this letter, mentions that we're saved by what? Grace. That's in chapter 2, isn't it? Verse 8. Saved by grace. As we said this morning, you don't understand the Christian message and you don't understand the gospel if you don't understand grace. Nothing in my hand I bring. Don't we sing that? Nothing. Look, I've got nothing to offer God to save me. Only Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. God then blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. No spiritual blessing is withheld from you. Isn't that what he says? God has blessed us with what? Every. Isn't that what he says? Every spiritual blessing. Not most, not some. Every spiritual blessing. So God doesn't hold back and Paul doesn't hold back here. Every, he says. Psalm 84, at the end of verse 11. It says this, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I wonder if it really means that. Does it mean that? Well, God says so. He must mean it. No good thing, no spiritual blessing will he withhold from those who fear him and love him. So it's not as though God says to you tonight, look, I've got quite a few blessings for you and you're going to enjoy these things. Here they are. But I'm keeping a few back. You can't have these. You're not worthy. You haven't reached that level of godliness. It's not that God does that. He's not locked any blessing away from you. He says here, every spiritual blessing, no good thing will he withhold. It's all for you. Because you're in Christ. You see, the Father will not deny Christ. And because you're in Christ, he will not deny you every spiritual blessing. If you're not enjoying these blessings to the full, that's joy and peace and a sense of past sins being fully forgiven, all those things, it's your fault. It's not that God is withholding these things from you. He says he isn't. So it's your fault. You're not enjoying these things as you ought to. They're yours in Christ. I've got one last point. Lastly, the sphere of our blessings, the sphere of our blessings. Look at the verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in, where? In the heavenly places in Christ. Now, that's a difficult phrase, isn't it? Paul uses it 5 times in this letter and nowhere else in the New Testament. I don't know which translation of the Bible you have with you just now, but I'm using the New King James Version. And in that version, the word places is in italics, which means it's not in the original Greek. The translators have added it so that we might understand what they think Paul is getting at. So what's it mean? Well, first of all, the Christian faith is positively otherworldly. Men and women without Christ don't know anything of a spiritual world. I mean, they live down here and that's all they're interested in. They don't realize there's something up there. They don't realize there's something beyond their little lives and the world in which they live. They don't know about those things. But the believer does. And Paul realizes there is this heavenly realm, as it were, this sphere, which is nothing to do with the world, the physical world in which we live. Unbelievers live in a very restricted world of their own, as it were. This little world, this globe on which I live, this is everything there is, really. And yet we've got this bigger picture. We've got a picture of God, of heaven, of the new heavens and the new earth. And Paul says, we've received these heavenly blessings, and the sphere that we enjoy is a spiritual sphere. It's to do with heaven. The heavenly sphere. That's where we're in. In chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul writes this. And again, this is not the easiest verse to understand. We don't quite know all the details of what Paul is getting at. Chapter 2, verse 6, where Paul says, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. There's the phrase, heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's in Christ again. That's repeated again and again. The heavenly places. Paul says, it's as good as done. We're in one sense in the heavenly realm already. We are in between us. We're down here, aren't we? You know that very well. But at the same time, we're up there. We're living here physical lives in this world that's material. And we're up there. In a spiritual sense, with Christ, we're already upon the throne. Paul says it's done already, really. You might be down here, but in one sense, you're going up there and you're almost there now. You're up there in the heavens. You're going to sit upon the throne up there. It's what God has promised you. And what a prospect that is. I mean, what a blessing that is to be up there with Christ, sitting upon his throne. And Paul is talking about that really in our verse. Spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We're in two places at once. I mean, we said earlier, geographically we're in Aycliffe and spiritually we're in Christ. But there's something else to say. We're in Christ down here, but we're up there with Christ as well, spiritually speaking. We're already there. You're so certain. There's no doubt about it in the mind of God. Our citizenship is down here. And our citizenship is at the same time up there. I have a British passport. I must say it's out of date just now. I probably won't go abroad anymore. But anyway, I've got a passport and I used to go abroad to different places. And no matter where I was in the world, I was a citizen of the United Kingdom. And I enjoyed all the privileges and blessings of being a citizen of this country. And in a similar way, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm down here in a foreign land just now, like you. This is not my home. I'm just travelling through. But I've got my passport, and my passport says I'm a citizen of heaven. And nothing can change that. Wherever I go, wherever I wander in this world, I'm still a citizen of heaven. King Charles, I can't get used to saying that now. Sounds as though I'm talking about someone who lived hundreds of years ago. King Charles, our new king, is the king when he sits upon the throne. Is he still the king when he does a walkabout? When he's meeting ordinary people? Yes, he is, isn't he? He's the king wherever he goes, on the throne or amongst the people. And we're kings. We're not on the throne, actually, at the moment. But wherever we go, we're still kings. God has promised us that. Kings and priests to God. And wherever we go, we're kings. Might not have a crown on our head. We might not be sitting on the throne up in glory, but we're kings. Wherever you go, wherever you wander, you're a king, so far as Jesus is concerned. And that's the place we're going. Our Father is there. Our Saviour is there. Our home is there. Our friends are there. Our loved ones are there. And we're going there too. And Paul says, you're almost there. In a spiritual sense, you're there. You have these wonderful addresses. You're in Christ and you're in heaven as well. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point, isn't it? We're blessing God for these things. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. Who is blessed here? Well, look at the verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God is blessed. And this blessed God has blessed us. We bless God as he blesses us. When we bless God, we speak well of him. When he blesses us, he does good to us. We bless him by speaking and by praising. And he blesses us by doing good things to us, by giving us these blessings that we've been thinking about. Our blessing is in words. His blessing is in deeds. Our text then is an invitation to praise and thank the Lord. You are blessed because he has blessed you. The source of our blessings, the scope of our blessings, and the sphere of our blessings, it all comes from God. Of course, if there's someone here and you're not a believer, these things are sadly not for you. You're missing out on the best things of life. Every Christian here would say, this is life. This is real life. All through Christ. We're going to sing that closing hymn. I mentioned it a few moments ago. It's number 801. He giveth, well, that's it, isn't it? He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. And as the chorus says, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Number 801.